morning already in our wonderful Lord and Savior, his work on the cross of Calvary for us. Just absolutely amazing what God has done. Now, stop and consider for a moment what was just sung. Oh, to be like thee. And all the character of Jesus Christ. This is prelude. You can get to, by the way, get to Proverbs 31. It was stealing my scripture reading already this morning. That's okay. It's been a while since we've been in Proverbs 31, and it'll be good for us to be back here today, I'm certain. But if you can think with me for a moment, gentlemen, this is something beyond our ability to understand because of who we are, all right, reality. When we talk about following Christ, to be like Christ, I think of that in terms of a man. Christ was a man. And as a man, I want to take on his character and ability. Do you realize that in every sense of the word, ladies, but men, you need to understand this, we need to think through this, that Christ can demand of the ladies as well to follow him too and to be like him too. Probably one of the most potent passages of Scripture dealing with the various differences between male and female is found in the creation passage. And we've already looked at it in our study on Sunday nights. In the Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, God made us in his image. Male and female made he them. You see, there is something uniquely, let me put it this way, God is so large and so great that men, you cannot adequately express the image of God in this world. We need to admit that, all right? That God has designed for a part of his character to be revealed through the character and the person of women. And that's that almost, if you're honest with yourself, that starts frying your brain real fast. It does mine, at least. Maybe your brain's a lot more complicated than mine. Anyways, but to realize that then, therefore, Christ can fully demand of all of us, not just the men, but of all of us to follow Christ. He was God, was he not? He died for our sins, fully human, but fully God. And so his character is one that even the ladies can emulate. This is the part where I say, men, I don't get it. It doesn't compute in my head. But it's absolutely right, because Scripture tells us so. So ladies, you can take on, and we often consider, in fact, Paul picks it up with the Thessalonians, picks up how in his ministry to the Thessalonians, he was like a father who exhorted and encouraged them. The matter of strengthening and giving instruction, all those things seems to fall very well in the purview of men. I find it hard. Sometimes my wife has to tell me, she says, Dave, I know. I'm instructing her. I'm treating her like one of the kids. Now let me tell you how this happens and what to do. It's like, I'm sorry, sweetheart, you're right. And then Paul goes on to the Thessalonians and says, and then I loved you as a nursing mother with comfort and encouragement. In his ministry, the example of biblical love for the Thessalonians, Paul turned to the picture of a loving mother with her child and that type of compassion and love. So ladies, That is meant to demonstrate the compassion and love of Jesus Christ that men really have a problem with, if I can put it that, can't do it well. You can. Now, should men not be loving? No, we better be loving. We're supposed to be. We demonstrate a sacrificial love. We're called as husbands to love our wives even as Christ loved the church. But do you understand the amazing complexity and joy of our great God who chose in this world to use both men and women to demonstrate his image to a lost world that needs him? We all have very important roles to play, and we all have Christ as our example. Isn't that neat? Oh, to be like thee. That can be a prayer for both men and women. It's not just a man's prayer. And I rejoice in that. Well, as we come to Proverbs 31 this morning, this, again, is something that, it's funny, you say, well, you're a man, how can you understand a woman? Well, I'll admit at the front, I don't. It's a lifelong process. And I'm still getting about a C, maybe, right? I don't even hope to be, you know, a salutatorian or valedictorian in this thing. I just try to figure it out, right? So, All right, but God's word gives us clear instruction, and that I understand. He put it in plain English. Can I put it that way? Well, he put it in plain Hebrew first. All right, but something for you and I to grasp and understand, and therefore, as my calling is to preach God's word, I will do it and will do it without shame. Ladies, let's follow through. Let your life demonstrate this ideal woman here. Let me say at the outset that this poem, and it's a poem, it's really set in the vein of a lot of ancient culture, but Hebrew heroic poems. What would praise David for his great work on the battlefield and as a king? It's that same idea. We have several heroic poems in the book of Psalms that we could refer back to, even one written about God himself, Psalm 111. And this is structured the same way, but exalting and presenting the ideal lady. Often we, obviously this is used, and we're preaching it on Mother's Day, but this picture is not just for mothers. Can I stress that very much at the front end? This picture is for all women to try to emulate and to grow in their life. This is God's poem about godly women. And he has much glory here, and it's amazing. I find it very interesting that in this poem, this is just a poem of praise. There's no direct instruction given. It's already praising what is happening in the godly woman's life. May that be true of you ladies today. May this character and these qualities be true in your life. This poem is an acrostic poem. So as we start here in verse 10 and get all the way down through verse 31, we're finding that each new section starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Consequently, the structure is not as strong as we might find in another passage. It's an instruction paragraph that says point one, point two, point three. You're going to see the themes kind of woven throughout, just like any good poet would do, the whether it was Solomon or some other writer, and it very well was another writer on this one, use the Hebrew letters to help people remember. Now, something interesting about the tradition about this poem is this became a poem that was often read by the husbands, not read, I'm sorry, quoted. Catch that. Quoted by the husbands and children at the Friday evening Sabbath meal. All right, now remember the Sabbath, for the Jew, the day starts when? At night. All right, after the sun's down, that's the new day. All right, so Sabbath was a Saturday. So your Friday night supper meal was the start of the worship of God for the day. And it became tradition. It's not something that we demand biblically at all, but it became traditional for the husband and children to quote Proverbs 31, 10 to 31, every Sabbath Friday evening. All that says to me, and I think that's what is important, is I think this is important for us to listen to. And it was put in poetic form, so it was easy to memorize, easy to pick up. Obviously, we lose some of that wonderful poetry when we translate. But I like the fact that in our King James translation here, they generally use the pronoun she all the way throughout as they start each of the new sections. So you're going to see, what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to organize it for you a little bit. We're not going to walk what we often do, just verse by verse, because some of this goes together. There is a major section in the middle that they tied several things together. So I'm going to give you the outline first. We're going to cover points, really, numbers 1 and 3 this morning, and then come back tonight for point number 2, all right? So in the godly lady's life, what God exalts, what he claims is heroic in their life, first of all, is faith. Faith matters, all right? That's point number 1 if you're taking notes. And you might write this, when a preacher does this for me and I'm writing notes, I always just kind of at the top of my page write the 3 points down, and then I take and start as the preacher goes through and writes it down through my notes. So faith matters is number 1. Secondly, the second thing that really matters to God in a godly woman's life is character matters. Faith matters, character matters, and finally, relationships matter. Relationships matter. So, we're going to, this morning, talk about points number 1 and 3. On purpose, I'm going to stay with number 2 tonight. It'll tie in a little bit with, I think, the presentation that Darcy will have for us. Not that she's the perfect woman. Okay. But she is living out some of the characters of a godly lady in her life already. And so it'll tie in, and I hope it'll be an encouragement to us. It'll we'll see the value of even a single lady serving the Lord, whether it's her or several others that we support and encourage and so forth. So I hope that that'll be a help this evening. God wants the lady to be concerned about, first and foremost, her faith, her relationship to God, and her purpose for life. And so we start really at the end here, the climax and the culmination point in verse number 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You see, the charm and elegance of a woman's life is something that is really outward. Favor, all right, that's the word favor there. And that outward charm and that outward elegance may be something that is a lie, or it may be a reality. We don't always know. I will tell you that a sinful woman, and really this contrast in the book of Proverbs is an amazing contrast. Solomon has spent a lot of the first 10 chapters, and if you'll recall some of the study that we did through Proverbs, this is a number of years ago now. Remember those first 10 chapters of Proverbs is really a lot of it. Instruction tied together, getting us prepared for all of the Proverbs that hit in chapter 11 and following. And so there's a lot of continuity to chapters 1 through 10. And in those chapters, he compares folly to a lady. And folly is the exact opposite here of the virtuous woman. It makes good sense to me why when they put the book of Proverbs together, you end with a description of the virtuous woman, because we've seen in the first part of the book this disgusting, wicked picture of Lady Folly. Someone who despises God's wisdom, someone who goes against God's law, someone who does everything they can to pull others to follow them against God. And this word favor here is hearkening back and likening us, helping us remember, oh yeah, Lady Folly. She has some charm about her, and she draws men to sin. Ladies, your outward look, yes, is important, but on the face of it, pun intended, on the face of it, your outward is not as important as your heart. Your outward should be the rightful demonstration of what's truly on your heart, but let me warn you, ladies, you can charm us men, but you'd better always charm us to God. Favor is deceitful. Beauty, he goes on, is vain. We live in a world, in this culture, and it's affecting the entire world, frankly, that is all about physical beauty. Now, God has uniquely made women beautiful from creation. You are, in a unique sense, and this is something different than men, you demonstrate in a unique way God's great beauty. A lady should be, in many ways, a living example of the beauty of God. We should, in our worship, in our living, rejoice in a beautiful creator who made beautiful things, including ladies. But that beauty in this sinfully cursed body is soon gone. Ladies, look forward to heaven, all right? And so beauty is just a vapor, it's a breath. In this life, in this world, beauty does not endure. Thus, it is not what matters most. Ladies, can I just encourage you for a moment from verse 30 here? Be careful what you value in your life and how that value is demonstrated. Yes, thank you for being properly attired today and looking beautiful today. It's appropriate before the Lord. But don't waste your days trying to put beauty on all the time. Be honest with yourself. The body kind of wears out and deteriorates. Now, let me real quick just because I must, all right? Because I must, men, especially those of you that are married and have a wife. But all men, this is important for. The beauty of a lady is in her heart first. You be careful and love your wife even though her body fails. I will tell you with my first wife that frankly some of the most beautiful moments that she ever demonstrated was with her sickness. And though her body was decrepit at that point and eaten by cancer, there was a lot of beauty there yet. Yes, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. But that is where where the writer of Proverbs really comes quickly here. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Men, don't push your ladies to try to keep their 20-something body. I'm being blunt here. Yes, we want our ladies to be healthy and strong, but the reality is you want your wife to be beautiful of heart. Help her to be a good mom. Help her to demonstrate biblical character in her life. You see, the fear of the Lord, this again is a theme that comes all the way back from Proverbs, the early part of Proverbs. So we've seen the terrible contrast between folly and the virtuous woman. And now we see this wonderful connection that at the beginning of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Lady, folly. Ladies, let that never be a testimony of your life. May the fear of the Lord be always about you, and may that character exude from your life. I will tell you as a pastor, some of the most beautiful ladies here are ladies whose body has long ago given up. The wrinkles are all over the place. The back is not strong. But we overlook it so quickly because the character of Christ is shining through. And it rejoices our heart. We just see past all of the, can I put it this way, all the ugliness that you think you ladies have. I always have to tell the ladies, you're not that ugly. Okay, good, thank you, all right. Because ladies often will say that and think that of themselves, and that's just not true. When Christ is a part of your life, there is a beauty there that helps all of us see past the fading body. Ladies, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. That takes a lot of strength and character. It takes a lot of work and labor. I would rather you spend 20 minutes with the Lord than 20 minutes on your bike. Grow in the fear of the Lord, because that's what God says here in verse 30 is praiseworthy. This is God talking. It's not just your pastor. It's not just your husband. This is God. And that's praiseworthy. May every one of you be focused on fearing the Lord. Now, faith is definitely the prerequisite of every character that's mentioned here. We've seen it in our study in 2 Peter. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge and so forth. Ladies, focus your life on your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here, ladies, today without the Lord Jesus, again, let me be straightforward with you. Your life is heading for a lot of ugliness in every way. The only hope for a beautiful heart and a beautiful life for a lady is Jesus Christ. That's the only hope. And the fear of the Lord. So, He's promised to give you eternal life, to walk with you and to be with you, to be a part of you. You would become a temple of the Holy Spirit the moment you come to Christ as your Savior. Turn from your sin. It's destructive. It's ruinous. Oh, I've seen too many lives destroyed and ruined by sin. And it's demonstrated in their body and it's demonstrated in their spirit. Ladies, don't let that ruin you. Flee sin. Fear God. Come to Christ as your Savior and then follow Him as your Lord and Master. Let your faith grow and abound in your heart and life and be beautiful today. Be favorable today because your heart is right with the Lord. Let's go on to verse number 10 as we continue to think about that faith matters. Verse number 10. So this is the introduction. This is the start, the part that Tim read already for us. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. This, again, is the introduction to this heroic poem. A woman of valor, of strength of character, noble. It was, this actual term was used by Boaz in describing the character of Ruth. Ruth was a virtuous woman. And in fact, all the people of Israel that were around knew her as that. She was virtuous in her character, valored in her strength, willing to obey and follow God. That's what made her unique. Boaz said, you have come to trust God, under whose wings you found refuge. Ladies, if you are going to be a woman of valor, of strength, of character, noble, fear God. Be virtuous. And by the way, that's a rare quality. Who can find a virtuous woman? The idea is this is something unique and gifted. I would say here at Heritage Baptist Church, we have been uniquely gifted with many rare commodities, precious things, virtuous ladies that worship the Lord with us, that encourage us, that help us here. But do know that in this world, that's a rare trait. Virtue is something that's mocked at. Something that's made fun of and said to put aside. Ladies, don't listen to that. You see, the virtuous woman is valuable. Her price, her value, her worth is above even rubies, it says. Now remember, this is said of wisdom, that the price of wisdom is greater than rubies in chapter 3, verse 15. You see, to follow wisdom is to fear God and obey His word. To obey His word is to follow the wisdom of God's word. All wisdom is God's wisdom. Ladies, find your value and worth in God and obeying His word. Your price then will be far above rubies. I'm reminded of what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. In the midst of your busy life, ladies, love God's word. Meditate on it. That'll add value to your life. That wisdom will grow you so that you'll be more valuable than even MasterCard. And it can be challenging. Your days are filled with children, schedules, cooking often. Some of you are working. Don't forsake God's word. Don't forsake God's word. Your faith matters. Verse 25, another note here. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. That first portion of that verse, verse 25, she is clothed with strength. And the idea here is not just physical strength, but in every way, with the Lord's help, she is strong in her character, in her personality, in her relationships, in her social settings. She is clothed with the strength of God, and honor is her clothing. God gives her, the lady that follows the word of God, is following His wisdom, gives her glory and majesty. If I can put it in maybe the picture for us, the lady that loves God's truth and lives God's word is our queen. She's clothed in majesty. And because of that, because she knows the truth, she does not fear the future. That's the end of the verse. She shall rejoice in time to come. In fact, in some respects, you could put it this way. She laughs at the fears of the future. Yes, as we look through, and we'll see this specifically tonight, the preceding verses of verse 25 talk about her work ethic. And because of her work ethic, it provides financial stability for the home and her family, her husband. But more than that, verse 25 points out that she is living out her faith and then thus living confidently in her God, growing in reflecting His character, and therefore can, without hesitation, trust Him for the future. It is natural for a mother to fear what will happen to her children. That's sometimes why there's a hard time for moms to, you know, cut the apron strings. I don't think that kid's ready to go yet. And moms, outside of God's Spirit helping you, you want to control still. Please turn to the Lord, ladies. Trust Him, fear Him, follow His wisdom, and allow the God of the universe to control your life so that the future is not fearful, but glorious. She will rejoice in the time to come. Do right and trust God. Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Absolutely. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. No fear for the future. Psalm 37, 31, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Talking about the man that walks with the Lord. And that can speak to the ladies as well. Ladies, love God's word, and guess what happens? It brings stability to your heart, calms your fears, and gives you even hope for the future. Faith matters. If you forget everything from today, don't forget verse 30. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Ladies, love your God. It provides beauty to your life. It provides real favor. It gives you wisdom. So, that's point one and number one. Faith matters. Now, if you'll step with me to point number three, and you say, well, do I need to leave a big blank in my notes? No, I just call it point number three. And keep on going, all right? Relationships matter. This almost is like a course. Ladies are generally wired for relationships, are they not? So to have a little bit of fun, that's why they grow and go in groups to the ladies' room. I was just this past week up at Maranatha for a meeting, and we had a break, and it was just all guys. And it was on a break, so we're heading to the men's room. Well, do you know what guys do when there's more than like two guys in the men's room? They walk out the door. They go, I'm going to wait outside. No, the ladies stay in there and chat, all right? Now, you see it happening, and that's okay. That's a good quality, by the way. It's just fun to watch, all right? Ladies, relationships matter, and they should, and God's designed you that way. You have, again, let's go back to creation for a moment. You have been designed by God before sin ever entered this world to be relational. Eve was Adam's help that was exactly meet for him. It was exactly what that bonehead needed. All right? And so God has, from the get-go, every one of you are designed for relationships to one degree or another. I know that we're all unique individuals, and that's an amazement to me. God has so made us so individuals. It's amazing. But in your very nature, ladies, you are relational. And so the writer of Proverbs here is making it very clear, a number of relationships that you need to excel in. And in fact, it's here at this moment in your relationships that your value and your worth become demonstrable. So that the favor, all right, the outward is not deceitful, it's real. You actually have impact on lives. I know that at times people will say that the scriptures is very, very, very much man-centered in a sense that they get, you know, they're the ones that are supposed to be the leaders and all those things. And the reality is that's not the true story. Yes, men are to be leaders. That's what God's called them to do. But that does not in any way devalue what God has made in woman. And we would be hopeless without the relationships that women provide. We need them. And so this ideal woman, this great heroic poem, very much so. So first of all, what are the relationships that are pointed out here? Well, a lady to her husband is first of all mentioned, and it's mentioned right away in verse 11. Verse 10 again, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. So that he shall have no need of spoil. You see, one of the greatest gifts that a lady in her relationship with her husband can give to her husband is being trustworthy. Ladies, May your husbands never wonder who you are and what you're doing. In its very nature, that demands that there's communication that goes on, right? Communicate, communicate, and then communicate some more. Men, let me just chide you for a moment. Don't shut her off. Don't shut her off. She needs to talk to you. And in fact, you need her to talk to you. All right? That relationship is important. And that, by the way, is the means by which we become trusting of each other. Ladies, be trustworthy. May your husband always know that you're doing what's right and best for the family, for him, and most importantly, for the Lord. May he see in your life character that fear, that faith matters, that fear of the Lord, so much so that his heart would never question what you're up to, what you're thinking, where you're going, why you're doing what you're doing. Be absolutely trustworthy. We'll talk about verse 11 later as well. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. In your relationship with your husbands, wives, do him good. This is a very broad term in the Hebrew. It's talking about good in every way. Everything that we can, as we take God's word and apply it to our life, everything that we can describe as good, ladies, in your relationship with your husbands, do him good. It really is a great way to describe how you should love your husbands. You do him good. Ladies, I realize that maybe that seems to be a humble role, but actually it's a God-honoring role. It's for every Christian in our relationship with anyone that we do them good. We do what's best for them. What's best for an unsaved person in my relationship with him? To give him the gospel. What's best for my relationship with my neighbor? To do him good. Be a gracious neighbor. Give him peace. What's best in my relationship with my children? To raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ladies, in your relationship to your husband, help him. Help him be godly. Now, you've got an interesting role to play. You have not been called in the home to lead. You've been called to complete, to help nurture in every way what's right. And that includes the husband, by the way. Do him good. Help him grow in the Lord. Give him the freedom to do what God has called him to do. And then give him the encouragement. I will tell you, ladies, this is something that, again, this is something very, very innate in men. And you need to know that and remember it. Though your husband may come across as strong and stable, as self-motivated in a right sense, in a good sense, able, it seems like, to take on any task, and it doesn't matter what's said about him or to him, the reality is he's still in many ways, the best way to do it, ladies, is he's still a little boy that can get hurt. The old thing, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but names will never hurt me, is a lie. Ladies, your responsibility to your husband in doing him good is to encourage his heart. This world beats him up. And as much as he might put up a facade and look strong and sturdy on the outside, have his armor on, the reality is he's wounded. And of all places, he should find healing at home, not another wound. Give him some grace when he comes home from work. He's had a rough day. Most days are rough. Whether it's a little bit of space or just a loving hug and kiss and say, I'm so glad you're home. We've missed you today. He hears those words and he realizes at least somebody likes me still. I'll open my heart just for a moment to you. I spend many of my days in just absolute awe that Abby's my wife. I do. That someone would love me, and then she actually tells me that, and I think she lives it out in her life. She actually demonstrates it. I am awestruck because not only do I see my own down settings and I understand my own flaws, but I have plenty of people that will tell me how bad I am too. And that's just the reality. And that God would grace my life with my wife who encourages me and helps me, helps keep me going, keeps me in ministry. Wives, do your husband good in every way. These stories and examples are endless. I'll stop there. Do him good. And then verse 23, another verse dealing with the husband-wife relationship. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. You see, because she has been trustworthy, verse 11, very productive, and that's the point that we're not talking about this morning. We'll talk about it tonight. There are a number of verses in the middle there that we'll talk about tonight. So because she's trustworthy, because she's productive, and because she's appropriate, let's look at verse 22 for just a moment. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Again, we'll see this tonight. But she's very appropriate in every action and in every appearance. What happens? Her husband is able then to prosper in the calling and influence that God has given to him. Ladies, do you realize that you can, as a wife, be the ruin of your husband's life and ministry? How can you not ruin him? Be trustworthy, be productive in the home, we'll see that tonight, and be appropriate, we'll see that more tonight, verse 22. Appropriate in every way. So we're sitting at a meal on Thursday. I'm sorry, I'm picking my wife again, but it's the one I know, all right? Okay, good. Anyways, we're sitting at a meal with some, you know, pretty important people, if you can put it that way. And it was supposed to be, you're supposed to be dressed in business casual, all right? What does that mean today? Well, there's a lot of broad variety. So anyways, I was without my tie. You like that? And it was enormous like that way. So still had dress pants on and a sport coat on, all that kind of stuff. And my wife had dressed for the occasion. Well, while I was in the meeting part of it, she was out shopping. Uh-oh. No. She told me, all right. Well, she comes walking into the meeting and is like, wow. She'd gotten a new top, and it was just perfect with the skirt she was wearing for the day, so she had changed, all right? And it was like, this is my wife, all right? That's what I wanted to feel like, all right? And here we are sitting across the table from the Vice President of Maranatha, you know, and having wonderful fellowship. I mean, it's just a normal Joe, but still. And it's like, yes. It made my job easy. If there is any value of anything that's worthy in my life, it's because my wife has helped. That's just the reality of it. If there's been a betterment of my preaching skills, it's because my wife has been my critique. Ladies, help your husbands prosper in the calling of God. God's called you to that in your relationship with your husband. Would you forgive me? And I'm going to stop here. Okay, the time is up, and I just don't want to. I don't want anybody to be mad over burnt roast beef today. All right. So I will tell you real quick. We're going to look at tonight her relationship with her children, her relationship with her employees and associates, and her relationship with her neighbor, and then we'll look at her character tonight too. Ladies, make your faith first. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. But she that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Walk with the Lord. Let it be a part of all of your life. And then, ladies, those that are married today, be a good wife. Do your husband good. Be trustworthy. Be productive. Be appropriate. And God will bless you. He'll praise you, verse 30. Because you've done that right in that relationship. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us all much today, and I thank you for that. This is a beautiful poem. It's a right thing to honor godly ladies. Thank you for numerous godly ladies that sit here among us even today. Yet I know that each one of them have areas where they need to grow in. and your word is sufficient to help them. May they live in the fear of the Lord. May none of our ladies walk away from you. May they not shirk their relationship with their God. But may they, as they walk with you, influence all of our lives through their numerous relationships to follow and obey our great God and our great Savior. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let me start today. Is there one here today that does not know Christ as your Savior? If I can put that in biblical terms in light of our passage today, it means you're not fearing the Lord. God cannot allow sin in His presence. And so He provided a way of escape from the sinfulness that's in our life. We're all sinners. He sent His Son to be our Savior. He's paid the price for our sins. Have you accepted that wonderful free gift of salvation? Have you turned from your sin and trusted Christ alone for eternal life? That's faith. That's the start of the fear of the Lord. Maybe today you'd say, Pastor, that's my need today. I need to be saved. Could I pray for you? No one's looking about. I'll just see your hand and pray for you right now. My prayer won't save you, but I can be an encouragement. You say, Pastor, that's my need today. I need to be saved today. Secondly, ladies, are you living in the fear of the Lord? Is your life beautiful because of it? Does it have God's praise? Maybe your heart's been challenged today. Maybe there's a specific verse that, as we walk through some of these verses already this morning, you say, Pastor, there's some areas in my life where God has pricked my heart and I need to take some steps of growth. Would you pray for me, Pastor, that I would walk in the fear of the Lord? Any lady say, that's my need today. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone at all? Yes, amen. 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 Secondly, ladies, this is specifically to our wives today. How's your relationship with your husband? Are you doing your part? Are you trustworthy? Does he trust you? Be quick not to blame him. Be quick to look in your own heart and life and say, maybe there's something I need to grow in to be a better wife so that our relationship is strong and good. Could I pray for you? Maybe your heart's been challenged with one of the thoughts about your relationship with your husband today. Trustworthy, productive, helping him in his calling. Could I pray for you? Say, Pastor, that's my need today. God's words pricked my heart. Can I pray for you right now? Anyone at all? They'd quietly raise their hand and say, that's my need, Pastor. Lord, take your word and grow us today. May we all walk in the fear of the Lord. May our ladies be good, godly ladies. If there's one here today without Christ, draw them to thyself. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.